I want to read a couple statistics, so just hang out with me. You guys up here. All right, you guys ready for these statistics? 1,500 pastors leave the ministry every month due to moral failure, spiritual burnout, or contention in the church. 1,500 every month. 50% of pastors' marriages end in divorce. 50%. 80% of pastors feel unqualified and discouraged in their role as pastor during the whole time. 50% of pastors are so discouraged that they would leave the ministry if they could, but they have no other way of making a living. So they feel trapped. 80% of seminary and Bible school graduates who enter the ministry will leave the ministry within the first 5 years. It's about how long they last, generally. 80%. 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. Most statistics say that 60 to 80% of those who enter the ministry will not be in it 10 years later. And only a fraction of that will do it for a lifetime. I'm going to read that one more time. 60 to 80% of those who enter the ministry, whether they're pastoring or missions or some kind of ministry, cleansing stream is something that these guys have done for years. 60 to 80% of those who enter ministry will not be doing it 10 years later, and only a fraction of that number will be doing it for a lifetime. So here is Al and Sharon DeBoer, who have broken every statistic. Yeah. Good. Good. I was chatting with some people. I said, how long have Al and Sharon been pastoring, in that role of actually pastoring? And we had a few guesses. But the guess was like 40-plus years. We know that this place, 1990, right? Is that the right date? So in this place, 28 years in Pagosa. What I just read here as far as some of these statistics. And it's just so encouraging to me, and I'm going to stop talking and give you the mic in a minute. No, I promise. That even when 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, when we made a transition of lead pastor, these guys sat front row and cheered on everything that was happening. And just encouraged my wife and I and encouraged this team. It's been huge. And I talked to other pastors and other people who've been through transition, and they say, well, where's Pastor Al now? Thinking, being he's done pastor, he's probably punched out of the ministry because 95% of pastors do. Not him and not Sharon. I said, they're in the front row cheering us on every Sunday. They said, that's phenomenal. Is there any awkwardness? Are you trying to get the mic back and still trying to run things? And I said, no, not at all. The way they have walked through the transition and just what does the Lord have for us now has resulted in them really doing what they said they were going to do, is refiring, not retiring, into more ministry. And so I'm just so encouraged to hear from you guys today. So it's a big deal day. These guys are moving to Arizona. So our last official Sunday is Pagosa residence, and we're going to see them, I'm sure, a bunch in the future. So it's not quite as painful as goodbye, but it's a real transition and a real change for you guys. And so I'm encouraged this morning. I want to again, let's all stand up and give them a hand as they share this morning with us. We honor you guys.
Get to go first. Wow. What do I do after that? I thought I could hold it together today. Okay. Pastor asked us just to share a little bit about our journey, what the Lord's been showing us, not only for us personally, but also for this church, this community, and just what God's heart is. The last 3 years, Al and I have gone to Arizona, usually shortly after the first of the year, for 4 to 6 weeks. Get out of the cold, get out of the snow, and to just really seek the Lord as to what he had for that year. Last January, we didn't go till about the middle of January, and every year I like to ask the Lord, before the year starts, I like to ask the Lord either for a scripture or a word that he has for me for that year. And I hadn't gotten one yet last year when we left for Arizona. And we arrived there about the middle of January, and the next morning I went out for a walk. There was a big empty field next to our RV park where we were staying. And I just walked and I said, Lord, I don't have a word yet for this year. What is the word you have for me? And the word he gave me was trust. And I went, oh, I can do that. That's an easy one. I like that, Lord. Yeah. That afternoon, Jeremy Humphreys, our missionary with YWAM in Australia, called and asked us if we wouldn't come in July and minister RTF ministry, which is one-on-one, to 17 students, plus teach for a week. And we're going, oh my goodness. Humanly speaking, that sounded impossible. And I heard the Lord say, what was the word I gave you? I said, trust. He said, yes. I said, okay, I can trust you through this. In the next several days, I don't know, it was like maybe over the next week, we had 4 RTF requests for ministry. And I'm going, Jesus, do you really understand what all of this involves time-wise? And he says, what was the word I gave you? I went, trust. I'm starting to get a whole new picture of what trust means. And then about a week later, I get a call from Pastor Chris Hayward, from president of Cleansing Stream. And they've been developing new materials for their discipleship training called Cleansing Stream University. And I've been working with them in developing the workbooks for those modules. And he wanted to know if I was willing to continue for the third module. And I went, yeah. And I'm seeing my plate get fuller and fuller. Plus, he asked me to be involved with a couple of other projects that were going on. And I'm just going, God, I need help. And he's saying, what was the word I gave you? I said, trust. He said, yes. I want to spend just a little bit of time. I want to thank Gary and Arliss for that word this morning and just the emphasis that's been here this morning on spiritual warfare, on bondage. You know my passion for inner healing, for freedom, for deliverance. I mean, God has placed that in my heart. That foundation has been laid here. And I want to encourage you, take what has been our ceiling as we leave here as your floor. Pick it up. Run with it. The training that Cleansing Stream has produced is incredible discipleship training, not only for personal holiness, which it really emphasizes that, intimacy with the Lord, also training in learning to understand spiritual warfare, how to stand in that. Clint and Lisa Quiller have been what we call in Cleansing Stream field staff for several years, known as ministry ambassadors. And they have said they're willing to continue that training here. If you have been to a Cleansing Stream event, what we used to call a retreat. You are invited and welcomed to be part of that training. Clint and Lisa are going to develop another class after the first of the year. Please talk to them. The freedom that God has for us is incredible. He wants us to understand how to press in and how to stay strong in that. We've also had a ministry here called Deep Freedom Prayer Ministry, which goes along with the training that we've gotten in Cleansing Stream. We've had got several couples that are trained in doing that one-on-one ministry. I have been the contact person. Lisa is willing to take that over. Please contact her if you need some ministry. She will set you up with a couple. I just want to put that plug in there because it is vital. It is a vital piece of us standing strong. As we look at what's going on in the world, one of Satan's main tools that he wants to bring into our lives is fear. Don't go there. That's not where God wants us to be. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He hasn't given us a spirit of intimidation. He wants us to stand strong. So I encourage you, pick up that baton and run with it. As I've shared, all that the Lord began to put on my plate, and I know that none of you here know this about me, but I'm a type A personality. I've got my checklist. It's got to get done, and I like to have it done early, and I like to have it done right. Oh my, with everything that God was challenging me with, He had that rubber band, and man, He was stretching me. And He kept saying, what was the word I gave you? I said, trust. I can do this. And it was amazing as I kept trusting the Lord in every situation. And let me just share with you, normally when things like that get piled up for me, I start to really get stressed out, and the headaches start to come. It has been amazing as God kept reminding me, just trust me. After all, I know what I'm doing. I knew all of this ahead of time. It's not a surprise to me. Trust me. As I chose to do that, and it was a choice. I had to choose it each time. But as I chose to do it, I found that those headaches weren't there. I was relaxed. I wasn't stressed like I have been in the past. It's been amazing. And the Lord knows how to throw those opportunities into our lives to test us. And yes, He was doing that. For many years, actually since Shannon was a senior in high school, which was quite a while ago, 10 years ago, we knew that the Lord was saying to us, transition is coming. We didn't know when, we didn't know what it was going to look like, but we knew there was going to be transition. And so earlier this year, the Lord began to say to us, it's time. It's time. Oh dear. Put your house on the market. It's time to make a move. So we did. In mid-May, we listed our house. And of course, then we were gone for 5 weeks in the summer. We had quite a few lookers. Didn't really fit anybody. And the question started coming, but Lord, why aren't you selling it? Did we really hear God right? You know, all of those doubts that start coming in. And God just kept saying, trust me. And I kept saying to Al, you know, it's only going to take that one person that walks in and says, this is it. And that's exactly what happened. But the precious thing about that is, and I'm going to cry here because they're sitting in the audience, is that they're dear friends of ours. They're strong believers in just knowing that the presence of God is going to continue to flow out of that house is so precious to us. But we knew it was time. And yet, in August, when we were looking at all of this, and I started to look at our fall schedule of ministry commitments, I mean, our fall has been packed with ministry commitments. And I'm going, God, even if you do bring a buyer, we don't have time to go to Arizona to look for a house. We don't have time to sort through all of our junk. And believe me, you don't realize how much you've collected until you start to move. We don't have time to pack. And again, God said, do I not know what's going on? Do I not know the timing? Trust me. So I did. I continued to trust him for the timing, for what he wanted. We went to Arizona for 5 days. We were able to put an offer on a house. God has been so good. We continued to do the ministry that we needed to do. We were gone for 10 days doing ministry in Kansas and Nebraska. And bless my two girls. They came when we got home, men, they came and we tackled everything big time. It has been a blessing. God knew the timing, and he has been so faithful to expand our energy, our time, our strength, our health. And in the midst of all of that, Al had surgery and couldn't lift anything. Yeah, and again, God said, it didn't surprise me. I knew all about this. And now is the time to make the move. We actually load the truck tomorrow. We close on our house on Tuesday. And early Wednesday morning, we pull out of here. To say the least, we've been on quite an emotional roller coaster. We've been here 28 and a half years. Shannon was a tiny baby when we moved here. You are our family. You are our friends. You are our support group. We will miss you terribly. And after this worship this morning, I'm going, oh God, do we really have to leave this? But we do plan to be back at Christmas, and we plan to spend our summers here. After all, we still have Shannon and Darren live in the area. Our grandkids are here. And we'll be back. So like Pastor Justin said, it isn't a total goodbye. God has always called us to be forerunners. Our whole married life, actually even before. I mean, and then when we got married, we joined together. We have always been forerunners. So we are looking with anticipation to what the Lord has for us to develop and establish in the place to which he's called us. We don't know what that's going to look like. There's no cleansing stream in that area. We're going to be, some of you are wondering where in Arizona. We found a house in a little town called Arizona City. It's about 10 miles from Casa Grande, which is halfway between Phoenix and Tucson. We don't want to be in a big metropolis. We don't like all that traffic. It's a smaller community. It's a retirement community. As far as we know, there's no cleansing stream in that area. And there are no RTF Healing House Network folks in Arizona. So the field is wide open for us to continue the ministry God has called us to do. When Al graduated from seminary many, many years ago, we were living in Indiana, and we were preparing to move back to the Midwest. Change is challenging for me. Now, I've grown a lot in that from, I don't know how long that's been, almost 50 years ago. But at the time, I was really struggling with that change. And the word the Lord gave me was, bloom where you're planted. And man, I hung on to that. You know, when you want to transplant something, you have a flower outside that you're going to transplant to a different place, you dig it up, the roots don't like it. And it takes a little while to get reacclimated into new ground. We were uprooted then. We've been uprooted many times since. And God is uprooting us again. The roots get shaken a bit. But the message, the mandate is the same. God has told us to bloom where He plants us. And I want to challenge you with the same. Wherever God places you, bloom for Him. Let your roots go down in deep in Him. Develop that intimacy with Him so you can give off His fragrance wherever you are. You know, the Lord may uproot you and transplant you to a different location, but it may just be a different job. It may be different focus for you in life. God says, no matter what it is, trust me. Bloom where you're planted. Let His fragrance flow through you. Rest in Him, regardless of what the circumstances look like. Don't let fear enter in. When you choose to rest in Him, and that was one of the things I have learned, as I trust Him, that inner rest comes. As you choose to rest in Him, you will find yourself living with amazing peace. There may be chaos around you, but inside there's rest and there's peace. A few days ago, I was reading in Hebrews, and I came across this verse in Hebrews 3, verse 19. And in the New Living, it says, because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter His rest. And I went, whoa. You see, when I don't trust Him, I'm living in unbelief. When I'm choosing to focus on my anxiety, stress, fear, what's going on around me that I can't control, I'm living in unbelief. And I can't, it's impossible for me to enter into His rest when I'm living in unbelief. That word trust has challenged me this year. It stretched me. But guess what? I am not the same person I was in January. Hallelujah. And I want to continue to grow in what God has for me, has for us. My challenge for you is that the Lord has the same mandate for you. Trust Him so you can truly rest, enter into His rest. You can truly rest in Him. I love you all, and I'll see you again. It's not goodbye.
Wow. You know, Sharon and I have learned from the day we were married, almost 50 years ago. We're going to be celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary next summer. And that, yeah, pretty amazing when I stop to think about it. But we made a commitment on that day, that from that day forward, everything we did in ministry, we'd do together. And it's worked. It's worked amazingly well. Doesn't work always with every situation. But I watched Justin and Tara, and they're doing the same thing. They're working very well together, and it just blesses me. What I'm going to do, and this is what the Lord laid on my heart, I'm going to share with you a few things that come out of some history of words that I've given to you in the past. But it's kind of a diatribe of important prophetic significances that the Lord has given to us as a body, as a church, for the last 30 years nearly. And I'm going to start, first of all, with the issue of faithfulness, the faithfulness of our God, the faithfulness of our God. I'm going to give you some descriptive language as it relates to the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God is a strict or thoroughness in the performance of duty. A strict or thoroughness in the performance of duty. It is being true to one's word, your promises, your vows. It is being steady in allegiance or affection. It is being loyal, constant. It is being reliable, trusted, or believed. Adhering to the truth. Adhering to the facts. Adhering to the standard. Now you might ask the question, well, how can I learn to trust, as Sharon was talking about, in the faithfulness of our God? Over the years, every single time we would come to a crossroad, or we would come to a difficulty or a disappointment or a despair, I would look at that sign in the back of the auditorium. It says, but God. But God. I have all of these issues going on in my life, but God is faithful. Faithfulness means steadfastness, a firmness, a fidelity. It is the opposite of being faithful is to be ever-changing or wishy-washy. In Psalm 119, verse 89 and 90, it says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. God. But God is faithful, always steadfast. The second thing I want to mention as it relates to what God wants me to share with you this morning is the issue of prayer and worship. It was interesting, a number of years ago when we were introduced to the model of prayer and worship corporately through International House of Prayer, Kansas City. Out of that came a vision in my heart and mind that I want to instill in you again. Never stop the prayer and the worship and the prayer. Everything that God does comes out of worship and prayer. The only way that anything can be accomplished in Pagosa Springs is if we continue the mandate of worship and prayer. It has to continue if the calling of God upon this fellowship is going to be what God wants it to be in this generation and the next. We have been called to be the watering hole to the nations. We have been called to be the watering hole to the nations. Now, how is that going to happen? It's going to happen through this generation, as you have witnessed this morning, standing true to God's word in faithfulness to God and becoming sensitive to everything that God wants done in their lives personally and in our lives collectively. I'm going to do something this morning that I haven't done, we haven't seen for a long, long time. I want every young adult person that's here this morning that is serious in your relationship with God, every young adult person, you call yourself young adult, that is serious in your relationship with God, I want you to come up here and stand right up here. Yeah. Come on up. I needed to see this one more time, Justin. Look at these young adults. This is our responsibility as older adults to stay fired up, to encourage this generation to be everything that God has called them to be so that we can move forward in the supernatural power of God Himself. I look at each one of you and I see the Allie. There's a powerful, powerful call of God in your life. Shannon, continue to be that school teacher with those kids in the classroom. Yes. Ryan, be that businessman in town that is looked to as a man who fears God and God alone. See, this is what I'm talking about. All of you have something to contribute, a gift to give to this community, and you're giving it. Don't stop. I could give a word for each one of you, and I'm tempted to, but I won't. Yeah. Don't lose the vision of being a worshiper and a prayer. Intercession. Pray, pray, pray. Worship, worship, worship. Yeah. Here's your power team, Justin. Yes. And all of us together, as older adults, we take the responsibility. You can go take a chair. We take the responsibility to lift up and encourage Justin and Tara. That's our responsibility. That's our responsibility. Now, all of these youth, young adults that you saw up here, are they walking perfect without flaw? No. Let me ask you a question. Are you? So we're all in this together, and this is one thing that I've always been encouraged about as it relates to this fellowship. And that's why, Jim, remember when we renamed it Restoration Fellowship? It's because we wanted to promote family in the midst of restoring all that had been lost, neglected, forgotten, or stolen from this church since its inception, since its beginning. And so as you continue to minister to one another in that friendship atmosphere, what is going to happen? An outpouring of God's Spirit in a way that only God can pour it out. Yes. Yes, indeed. A watering hole to the nations. I'm going to step out on a limb here, but I've been a frontier forerunner all my life, and I'm just going to say it again. Ever since that mandate was given to us to be a watering hole to the nations, I have seen this fellowship sending out people into ministry. And when I say ministry, I mean every aspect of ministry, whether it be in the workforce or whether it actually be as ministers that they call themselves missionaries or pastors. But as far as I'm concerned, the school teacher, the carpenter, the builder, the businessman, the businesswoman is no different in the kingdom of God. You see, God sets up his kingdom to be run, to be supported in many ways in his variety. He is a God of variety. Yeah. And I remember saying it here, and Mark, you probably remember me saying it. My dream was one day that 25% of us would stay and 75% would go. Now, it just so happened God always works that out because every 3 to 5 years there's a turnover in Pagosa Springs. And we're in another one right now. More people are coming in, but more are going. We're being sent out. You're sending us. Yeah. A watering hole to the nations. Justin, I know that with the ACT school in Colorado Springs and everything that's going on with that team of people that are gathered there, it's going to have an effect on us here. I don't know what that looks like yet. I can't picture that yet. But somehow that is going to affect the watering hole to the nations in Pagosa Springs. And part of it's going to be raising up another generation of worshipers and prayer warriors, intercessors, prophetic intercessors. Yeah, you name it. I better not say any more. I might get myself on a limb out there that I don't want to be on. Okay? What about that forerunner calling? And I got to quickly wrap this up. What about that forerunner calling? In the last days will repeat the forerunner calling as in the days of Elijah and John the Baptist. Justin has been so eloquently teaching us about that. It will replay the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, even with greater extravagance. Forerunners prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. Forerunners prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. Just like John the Baptist and Elijah did, Elijah and then John the Baptist, they prepared the way for the coming of Jesus the first time. And now, that same Elijah, John the Baptist spirit is being revived in the church, the body of Christ. And what are we doing? Preparing the way for the coming of Jesus. Every single day, we should be asking ourselves the question, what am I doing today to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus? Yeah. What am I doing in my life personally? What am I doing in my community? Forerunners proclaim now what the Holy Spirit is soon to emphasize among the nations. Forerunners bring new understanding or paradigms of God and His end time activity and plans. Forerunners prepare the way for God to act. Forerunners prepare the way for God to act. God always honors the will of man, and He waits until we act in the things we are called to. Each one of us have a calling of God. Stay faithful to it. Stay faithful to it. Yes. Return the heart of the Father to this generation. Return the heart of Father to this generation. That's what a forerunner does. Now I'm going to talk about how big your God is. I'm going to ask you this question. How big is your God? For many of us, our God is no bigger than our biggest problem. Think about that for a minute. If your God is no bigger than your biggest problem, then your God's not big enough. What am I trusting God for that qualifies, first of all, as revelation from God? Listen to that. What am I trusting God for that qualifies, first of all, as revelation from God? Human reason is at its best empty. It's not the revelation of God. Does my dream, ask yourself this question, does my dream qualify as the mind of Jesus, as His thinking? What is it that I'm excited about right now? Ask yourself that. What is it that you're excited about right now? Will the results last forever? If the results of what you're dreaming about is only going to be temporary, guess what? it's going to be empty in the end. If it's eternal, the reward is with you. Here's something that I want to say, an exhortation that I want to give to you as it relates to the issue of God Himself. We will never be able to totally understand God. You can't. It's impossible. Why? And this is the main reason. Because God is predictably unpredictable. God is predictably unpredictable. His nature embraces the element of surprise. God's nature embraces the element of surprise. Always embrace the element of surprise as it relates to God. Yeah. About the time we think we have God figured out, we discover a new dimension that we hadn't seen before. Here's a warning. We spend too much time telling God what and how and when to do something to make our lives more comfortable. And when we tell Him over and over and over to make sure that He has heard it, what are we trying to do? Make plans for God. That's not the way I read the Scripture. What is spiritual maturity? Here's what spiritual maturity is. Spiritual maturity does not result in a higher degree of predictability. Spiritual maturity does not result in a higher degree of predictability. In fact, great faith produces maturity. Great faith produces maturity. Where? In unpredictable choices. You know, that's one thing that I have always been able to do, and that is to keep Sharon guessing. Where is he going with that? What's happening now? Predictably unpredictable. Maybe that's why I like that about God, because I find myself that way at times. Yet, stability. I don't call myself an unstable person. All right, and I'm going to close with this, and it's 10 to 12. I have 5 minutes. If you have your scriptures, or if you want to post it, Jeremiah 33:3. Last Sunday, as we were worshiping, the word of the Lord to me was Jeremiah 33:3, and He said to me very clearly, I want you to give that word to several individuals, and you'll know who they're supposed to be. And sure enough, it happened. Here's the deal. And I'm not going to go into detail for the sake of time. The word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, and He tells him to buy this field, and so he buys it. And in the whole context of it, we have that statement about who God is. Is anything too hard for you, God? No. And then later, God comes back to Jeremiah and identifies Himself and says, I am who I say I am. I have made the heavens and the earth. Is anything too difficult for me? So again, I come back full circle to this question, how big is your God? Is anything too difficult for Him? We may not know His will, but we certainly can know by faith that we can trust Him. So He says to Jeremiah, verse 3 in chapter 33, He says to him, call to me. Call to me. The word for call there in the Hebrew is literally the word summons. It's the same word that God used in His conversation with Adam in the garden when He was looking for Adam, and He says, Adam, Come. He was summoning him. And so we have the reverse of that now, where Jeremiah is given the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is, God is saying to Jeremiah, summons me. Summons me. Call me to yourself. I want to give you some revelation. There's some other scriptures for that. And what's the promise? There's several phases to this promise. I will answer. I will answer. I will answer. There's not one person in this room that at one time or another in your life, as you were facing a choice or a decision or a difficulty, and you called, you summoned God. You said, God, come, show me, help me. And he came. He always comes. He may not come in your time, but he will always come. So you can say, God, based on your covenant promise with me, I will do what you command. I will summons you. I will call you. I will summons you to myself. You are committed to your promise. I will trust you. And then he says to Jeremiah, I will show you great things. Something becomes huge. The word for great there means huge. I want to give an exhortation to the leadership of this church, the elders and the deacons and all of the people in primary places of leadership. Don't stop summoning God. Don't assume that you know the answer. Summons God. In fact, is that word for summons there almost has with it the idea of a demand. God, you have given to me the responsibility to listen and pay attention to you. So I am demanding that you come to me and hear so that I can hear you. Because I want to know what the huge things are. Folks, I will say this. God has huge plans for this fellowship. God has huge plans for the church in Pagosa Springs, the body of Christ in Pagosa Springs. There's only one church in Pagosa Springs, the body of Christ. He has huge plans for us. Some of it has to do with the issue of the place of refuge. Pagosa Springs will always be a place of refuge. A place where people come for a period of time to be restored, refreshed, renewed, rebuilt, restructured. You know it, Allie, don't you? God brought you here, what, 3 years ago? Just think of what God has done for you personally just in the last 2 years. Phenomenal. What he's brought you out of and what he's bringing you into. But I want to say to you personally, it's not over yet. He's got huge plans for you. Plans that you don't know. But as you practice this verse of scripture and you summons God into that, God is saying to you, I will answer you, Allie. I will answer you. Yeah. I could go, yeah. Wow. Is Cassie in here? Cassandra? She's in children's church. Yeah. That's another one. Be watching her. A year ago, when she was seeking God with all her heart, God turned her around and upside down and shook her and sent her off to YWAM. All of these young adults that you saw up here, don't be surprised, is all of a sudden the unpredictableness of God. And he says to some of them, go. Or he says to others, stay. Don't be surprised. Yeah. I will show you huge things. And not only huge things, I will show you mighty things. The word for mighty there is that which is inaccessible because of fortification. Like walls are put up. Something is stopping you to get in or get out. But really what it's talking about there in the application of what we want to hear this morning is unsearchable things. Remarkable secrets. Go after the secrets of God. Go after the secrets of God. The hidden things, the incomprehensible things. You cannot find them out on your own. And I will show you things you do not know. Yeah. That's for all of us. A young man came in here this morning that has had a real challenge in his life from time to time. And this is the word I gave to him. Push through it. Push through it. And you might be saying yourself, and some of you have heard me say this before, you say, I'm going through hell. Well, I will say to you, don't stop there. Push through it. Push through it, Mario. Push through it. Whatever the it is. George, you're a father. George and Jan, you are parents to this generation. And your love oozes out to minister into the young adults of this generation. And they love you. Just live up to your name.